As we've said, today is Mother's Day, and I would like once again to wish all of you a happy Mother's Day. But this morning, I'm going to go in a little bit broader direction, speaking about our moms. And I would like to address all of the ladies in church here this morning, not just our mothers. Being a woman, created in God's image with all of the capabilities given to you by God Himself, is an incredible thing. Wonderful, beautiful. Sadly, in our world today, the pressure put upon you in so many different ways and from so many different angles and directions, I imagine that at many times it's pretty challenging. I can see those things from my perspective, but I don't feel them as you do, of course. We see pressure coming upon the women of our society, coming from all sides. Just step into the checkout line at Food Lion or Walmart or wherever you are, and the models that grace the pages are hardly human at all with all of the photoshopping and airbrushing, et cetera, et cetera. The movie stars with their own professional makeup artists that follow them around hourly almost tell the world that you must look perfect all the time. The professional business women, with all due respect to those in the room, some of those can make you feel like a nobody if you choose to be a stay-at-home mom. And those who do balance their career, home life, and volunteer for everything right and left can make some feel like just throwing in the towel and going, why bother? Pressure. And I'm going to step on some toes here because I know these two groups are in this church. Those who homeschool think you're crazy for not sending your children to public school. And those who teach in the public school think you're lost it for doing homeschooling. Tell me I'm not right. I'll take that as a yes. With all due respect to both of those camps. Ladies, there seems to be always someone, somewhere, that show you your faults. And how many ways that you just do not measure up to whatever the standard perceived. And again, sadly, for many women, value is derived by how you measure up to those standards. You look at the world, you see how they dress, you see how they act, and it's an influence. Even for those of you who are very strong-willed and try not, it's there. So, ladies, today, I want to show you in biblical terms the value of a woman. And the Bible is full of words, encouragement to the created human in God's image. But to women, there are so many words of encouragement that I could start at one end and move all the way to Revelation and just pick them out. And I'm putting Doug and Tim at work this morning. We're using six different passages. The world may expect the impossible. But please know this first and foremost. God comes to you with grace and a heart that accepts you exactly the way you are. Because He made you. Remember the words that we have read in 1 Samuel? Of course, he's speaking to Saul and to others as they were choosing a king. And so the Lord said, but this fits all of us. And ladies, hear this. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on appearance. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Ladies, it's the heart that truly makes the person. And so here I would like to address your value and your importance to God in four different areas. First of all, your place in creation. Secondly, your place in the family. Thirdly, your place in the world. And then finally, your place in the church. Four areas. First of all, from creation. Doug, if you would give us Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Two things that we see here in the created story of mankind: equality and dominion. Male and female, he created them. Now, at this point in this sermon, I'm not going to take the time to dissect totally how that single creation was both male and female. It would take a while. But yet, both are present here in this created order, which says to us that there is equality. Man and woman, male and female, were created in God's eyes to be equal. Men, hear this well. Equality. Ladies, equality. And equally, man and woman, male and female, reflect the image of God. And ladies, I believe this is the most important aspect of identity and of value for a woman. You reflect the image of God. You were created with His will and His wisdom, His intellect, His knowledge, His means of creating even, although He does it out of nothing and you do it by putting several things together. And some of you women do it amazingly. Now, that createdness of our abilities is tainted with sin, of course. But you have the image of God. Also, then there is dominion that Moses speaks about as he's writing the book of Genesis. They are equal in having dominion over the created order. There is no rank and no order here. Male and female are equal. Notice closely what we read here in verse 28. And God blessed them, plural. And God said to them, plural, have dominion. So here quickly in the Genesis story, we see equality and shared dominion. So in the created order, in creation, ladies, you have an incredible integrity, an incredible identity, and an incredible value in God's creation. Now, next, a woman's value in the family. Proverbs 1:8, Doug. Just two short verses in Proverbs. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Now, there is so much that can be said here about a woman's place in the family that many of you know that goes without being said. But here in the book of Proverbs, here is the wisest of the wise, Solomon, telling the parents to teach the children. Teach the children. Teach the children about me. Teach the children about wisdom. Teach the children about the ways of God. And notice here in Proverbs 1, 8, and 9, it is addressing the father and it is addressing the mother. Here again we have equality and a shared responsibility, men. A shared responsibility, ladies, in the instruction within the family. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Unity and equality. Both have a responsibility. Both have a place. Our children need to learn from both parents. Folks, this is one of the greatest reasons, other than it being incredibly sinful, that same-sex marriages absolutely will not work. As I said, first of all, it's unbiblical. But secondly, as we raise our children, the male aspect of teaching, the masculinity aspect of teaching is necessary for a child. But also the feminine aspect of teaching, the feminine aspects of nurturing and compassion and love. Yes, we get that from our fathers, but it's a different measure from our mothers. And if we want to raise healthy children in our home, then both parents are working together to instruct and to teach and to lead the family. Ladies, many times in those early years, you take the lead. The male might come in later. The male may be involved. But ladies, your value here is incredible in teaching the love and the compassion. Again, the image of God you are showing forth. So the way you love and the way you teach, the way you nurture, you're showing your children God-like characteristics. How will your children come to know the love of God? How will your children come to know what love truly means? They see it first in the parents. Or they see its absence first in the parents. Ladies, incredible place. Now, the first 10 chapters of the book of Proverbs is a setup to the remaining 21 chapters. And after this point, it is basically in the masculine language. Ladies, do not be deterred. This is old Hebrew writing. And most all the old Hebrew writing is in the masculine. But ladies, here, this is the reason I pointed out early in the chapter, early in this text, ladies, teach your children. A woman's place is in the family. In the teaching, edifying, encouraging, disciplining. Please don't leave out the discipline of your children. Now, as I said earlier, and before I move on from this category of family, my heart is heavy for those in the room who are not married and for those who are widowed. And yet still have that child nurturing, the moms who have lost children. I would like to ask you to look at this teaching in the larger context of family. You teach children. They're under your care every day. You will show them what love means. Those of you who have lost children, there are others who have stood up and come alongside and said, teach me what it means to be a mother. Those of you who have lost and now are the single parent with adult kids, grandkids, this is the body of Christ. And ladies, you have such an influence. You have such a capacity of love and care. We don't know why God has ordained what He has ordained in our lives. We don't know. But in time, we begin to learn and we begin to see that God has much for us. You look at Job, lost everything, all of his children, all of his son-in-laws, daughters, all of them, lost them all. But yet by the end of the book, his family had grown immeasurably. Now, was he still sad for those he lost? Absolutely. You'll never forget that. But yet look at the others that came under his house and into his influence. Think of the young ones that come into your house and the influence you have over them. I am so thankful that Luke and Justin spent their early years in my home. Now, they live in a wonderful home with my daughter and son-in-law, but to come in our home and to be so close to many church people, they haven't forgotten that. Luke still remembers most of you. Justin, not so much. you ladies, you have a love and compassion, and while you would like to prescribe your life to be set out in this line, and I want it this way, God has said no. But then keep your eyes open for what God will do, because your love will not go empty. Your love will not be lost. It will be given, and it will be needed for someone else. Families in the large context. It's not too bad to know also that the great apostle Paul never married. Felt like marriage was a hindrance to his ministry. But yet he is the one who wrote most significantly about the family, about the home, about marriage. So we learn from him. Next, let's move to the woman's value in the world. Proverbs 31, Doug. Now, this is a very familiar proverb. We hear it read often on Mother's Day. I bet it's been read a million times this morning. But Proverbs 31, actually, Doug, I have given you the wrong passage. So, buddy, you are, just cut that off. Listen. Sorry, Doug. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm. All the days of her life she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the staff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, and her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. There is more there, but here we have a very familiar proverb that speaks of a very special woman. A very special woman to her children and to her husband. And also as a merchant. Did you hear that? She was a merchant. She made fine linens and sold them. This ongoing debate. Housewife. Stay-at-home mom. Career woman. Ultra volunteer. One who is very quiet. The debate is which is biblical and which is accurate. Here in this woman we see the balance, I believe. We see a balanced blend of both family and the corporate world. Now, please notice in the category and order of things, I think her family came first. Repeatedly it is mentioning the address she gives to the things of her family. But also she reaches out to the poor. She reaches out to the needy. She is a seamstress and a land-owning gardener. And she brings her proceeds into the family. She finds her place and importance in the world by finding her home to be her base, to be her rock, her place of that foundation that all women need. Men, please know, a woman needs that place of security and safety in the home. She may never tell you. You may think she's this woman who is career-oriented and home and dishes and cleaning the house is just not her thing. But that place of safety and security. Men, when you leave the home each day, tell her you're coming back that afternoon. Well, Pastor Tim, they know that. I've been doing it every day. I don't care. They want to hear that you will be back. If you go out on a hunting trip and you say you're going to be back at 1, gentlemen, not 2:30. Look at the red faces. Great day. See, I can't even see. Golf. Sorry, that was just an echo in my ear. I'm sorry. I wasn't going there. Golf. Enjoy your day. Come home and let them know when you'll be home. That home is important. But then also, you see this lady, she works out in the world. She is a career-oriented woman. But please notice this most of all about this text. Her home is her place of origin and her safety. She works in the world, but she does not look to the world to give her her place of value. Verse 30. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. It says nothing about her looking to the world for her value. Yes, she works. She gets compensated for her work. She sees her place of value, but it's her husband and her children where she finds her value. There's a place for the woman in the world. All right. Go with me to Romans chapter 16. Doug, I'm going straight to Romans, please, sir. Romans chapter 16. Your place in the church. Again, here is a place of great debate. And a woman's place is questioned by many. And I'm not going, again, to be able to address all of these things here in this as to a woman's place. There are other times of opportunity to teach the full capacity of this. But I want to show you this aspect of the importance of women in ministry, women in the church. Romans chapter 16, this is the end of Paul's most famous letter to the Roman church. He is traveling to Rome. This letter is ahead of him getting there. And so he is telling the people thank you for their support in ministry. Now, there is some wonderful Greek names in this passage. So y'all pray while I try to read it. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centuria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and their brothers who were with them. Greet Philoglas, Julius, Nereus, and her sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Please know that it was women who faithfully stayed with our Lord Jesus Christ in his darkest hour after all of the men had fled. They were the last ones at the cross. John returned, but we believe the account tells us that there were several ladies who never left. A woman was the first to tell the world of Christ's resurrection. It was a woman named Anna who first revealed to the world that the infant Jesus was indeed the Messiah. A large group of women were with the disciples in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon them, as it is recorded in Acts chapter 2. It was a woman named Lydia, who was the first Gentile convert during Paul's missionary journey. And we can go back to the Old Testament for many. Miriam, who worked closely alongside with Moses. Deborah became a judge, or what we might refer to as a prime minister, a political seat, but working in the ministry of God over the nation of Israel. And here in the closing words of Paul's most famous letters, the women who are noted and thanks and listed here, there are 10 of them. I know by their names you can't recognize it to being a female name, but there's 10 of them listed here. Phoebe, listed first in an entire paragraph given to this lady. We think that she was the carrier of the book of Romans, the letter of Romans, to the Roman church. Prisca, or Priscilla, listed before her husband, Aquila, which probably means she had more involvement in the ministry than he did. Rufus's mother, who Paul stuck in a line here, who's also been a mother to me. Mary, Junia, Tryphena and Tryphosa, sisters working alongside Paul. Persis and Julia, and then the sister who is unnamed. All these women working in a ministry, very difficult, very harsh times, with persecution coming upon the church. Women working in the ministry. Ladies, your place in the ministry is undeniable. It's irreplaceable. I could go on and on. Where would the church be if not for the women? Where would the church be if not for the women? Now, four accounts there of your value, and in this brief, albeit brief account, I pray that you see your value, ladies. In the creation story, you bear the image of God. You have equality and dominion. Your place in the family is irreplaceable. Your place in the world, while not looked at to give you value, has great importance and purpose. And in the church, your value is incredible. And ladies, I hope it's these places, this place, the Holy Text, that you use to define your value. But for me, I would look at the very first one, creation. You were created in the image of God. And in that creation, you have identity. You have purpose, you have value, and you are loved above all things. And so I pray that as you live your life, you don't look at the world, don't look at the magazines as you go through the checkout, don't worry about the models that has the entourage behind them with the airbrushes and the fans blowing all the right way to make them, you know, all that garbage. It's just a picture. Very doctored. But look to the Lord. Look to the Lord for your value. Amen and amen.